Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
I want to talk to you about Angry Birds as I get ready to break my iPad. And we, through this the last several weeks, we've been talking about just games people play, using board games, using modern games, and just interacting and drawing some life lessons, some scriptural principles from the using those games. And how many of you even this week, you played a game? Not one of the necessary one of the games that we talked about, but you sat on your phone at an intersection at a red light and you started playing, right? Or whatever the scenario may be. And so we've been talking about various games. And this week I want to use a modern game called Angry Birds. How many of you have ever heard of the game Angry Birds? True confessions in church. How many ever played Angry Birds in church? Some of you are like, okay, I can go there. And I did, I confess. And some of you are really quick to put your hands back down. But it's interesting. You know, this is a game that you play off of your phone. I don't know if probably Xbox or whatever has it as well. But anyway, it's a game that you can play on your phone. And you can play it anywhere. Some of you even confessed to playing it in church. We're going to pray for you in a minute. But the creators, just some background, some tidbits. The creators of this game, Angry Birds, were from Finland. And I've played it a couple times. It's on my phone currently. But I've played it once or twice. And you have these birds. And there's these chubby, cute little birds. They're fat. They don't have any legs. And the birds get upset at pigs, green pigs. I would get upset if green pigs were around me as well, too. But these green pigs would eat the birds' eggs, and so the birds would get angry, and they would launch themselves, they would launch stuff at the birds, they would get angry and try to destroy or break the pigs or whatever they would try to do with the pigs. And so the game has become such a huge hit that it was actually the first game downloaded 1 billion times. So it's like popular. They made a movie off of it and everything. And so let me ask you a question. Okay, some of you were honest. You already confessed to playing this. And when you've gotten angry, who has ever chucked something when you got mad? You're just this like, oh, I'm just so mad, you know? And it went into the baptismal. Right, or whatever. And you just get mad and you throw stuff and you get upset and worked up about things. And some things you're like, man, I don't even know why I was so upset about that, but it sure did feel good to throw that. All right, and so I'm not encouraging you to throw stuff. That's not the best thing, a best way to handle your anger, obviously, but confession is good for your soul. So today we want to be like crazy super practical, not that we don't on other weeks, but this is like just a topic this week that is so practical, so like in our face, so maybe even experienced this week, maybe even on your way to church, you experienced a little bit of anger in your commute. But we're living in a season, I think we're all aware, we're living in a season in a society where anger just feels like it's kind of boiling up in so many different places where people, I mean, you just look at somebody and they're like communicating international sign languages to you. You're just like, wait a minute. People are hurling insults and disparaging words at others, they put Kansas City Chief bags up on the pulpit and stuff, and just like do things just to make you mad, right? And have fun with that stuff, and we need to be able to do that and have fun and not take stuff too seriously, Chiefs. But The goal for the day, okay? The goal for today is to talk about anger, which is one of the most common emotions, but maybe one of the most often misunderstood emotions that you and I come into contact with. A lot of people, when they start talking about anger, talk about anger, and they're thinking that anger is sin. And that's not necessarily true. The Bible says what? In your anger, do not sin. So not all anger is sin, and anger is this emotional ability given to you by God. Like God has, I mean, God gets angry. You read through the Old Testament, you see that. You read through the New Testament, you see this attribute, this emotion manifesting in Almighty God's life. But yet God is all loving too. Anger is at times evidence of great love. And if someone tries, I mean, put it this way, like if someone would try to hurt my wife, or if someone would try to hurt my boys, though I think my boys would probably do a better job defending themselves than I could defend them, but I'm still going to be Papa Bear. I'm going to protect my wife. If someone would try to hurt my wife, I'm going to do everything I can to protect her. But the opposite of love and protection is not anger. The opposite of love, I want to submit to you, is apathy. To where you just sit back and you don't care anymore. You're not caring. You're not engaged. You're just like, oh, well, that's a bummer. That's a bad day. There's a time in your life that you should get angry. You agree with me? There are things that are happening and things that you see that should just like stir something within you. The problem isn't necessarily the anger. The problem is how we express it. And so we're going to talk about that. There are helpful ways to release anger, and there are harmful ways to release it. And we don't often think about positive terms of how we do that, but anger can be a great ally. And if managed properly, it can produce greatness. It can produce greatness in marriages. It can produce greatness in homes. It can produce greatness in athletes or businesses or breaking injustices that you see globally or even locally. It can produce greatness in reformations. I mean, the reformations of the church, and when you look at church history, there was an anger there, where people saw this untruth happening and they rose up and they stepped into it and they engaged it with the right emotion. But if out of control, anger can destroy, can't it? My guess is most of us haven't been taught how to handle anger. Most of us, probably in this room, didn't have your mom or dad sit you down and say, okay, before, you know, this is how you handle anger. This is how we handle anger. What happened was that most of us saw anger modeled for us. And so now that's how we handle anger. I can remember when our boys were younger and they would get into it. Very rarely did they fight, but once in a while they would get upset with each other and they would start, yelling at each other or hitting each other or whatever. And so we would sit them down and we'd say, hey, look, man, this is not how we handle it. And this is not how you're going to handle it. And so I want you to just sit down. And they would kind of cop some attitude. And we're like, okay, so I see the attitude. You're still angry. This is what I want you to do. I want you to put your arm around your brother. I'm not suggesting you do this, but it was so funny because then they'd be like, and then they would like do what dad said to do or do what mom said to do or go hold your hand, hold your brother's hand. And they would be like, you're ruining my reputation as a dude right now. I said, I know, but we're getting the anger dealt with, and I want to teach you how to deal with anger. And so then they would respond, and they would begin to do that, and all of a sudden they'd start laughing because they're like, I feel so stupid with my arm around my brother, and this is dumb. But most of us, the reality is, most of us have not had anyone teach us how to deal with anger. We just let it run its course in our life. Because there's one of two ways that we've seen it. There's one of two ways usually that it manifests in our lives is that either we blow up or we clam up. And most likely, you learned it, and responding one of those two ways. So today I want us to be really crazy practical in how to handle anger biblically in an angry society. And the question is who is the person? This is, you know, don't look at anyone, don't shout out names or anything, but who is a person in your life that makes you the most maddest? Now that your blood pressure is just kind of elevated a little bit, maybe people, again, they typically handle it in one of two ways, their anger in one of two ways, because maybe we watched family do it or whatever, we excuse it. As I said, they blow up, they start yelling, they get this look in their eye, they get kind of maniac looking, and you're just like, oh, dear Jesus, come back quickly, right? Or they clam up, they go silent, they go mute, they're just like, and you want to check their pulse to see if they're alive. And you'll be one of these. That's on you. He wasn't pointing at you. That was good timing, right? So let's talk about angry birds. Let's talk about the screaming eagle. You can imagine what the screaming eagle is like out. Why don't you just blank the screen, please? And the screaming eagle is the one who obviously starts yelling. They get that intense look in their eye, and they get loud. Or there's the smiling ostrich, where there is a conflict, they bury their head. And you stuff the conflict. And what does buried anger do? It, you know what happens? It calcifies into resentment and into bitterness. It may be a short-term escape from conflict, but the long-term is you'll become bitter, and eventually it's going to come out. And one of these birds is probably you. You may be the eagle, which explodes, or you may be the ostrich that implodes. And the reality is when you get angry, when we get angry, and all of us do, we know that neither of these extremes are healthy, don't we? And as you look at Scripture, you see several examples from the Bible on how to use anger to build up and not to tear down. So if you have your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 4. I apologize for the issues on the screen, but Ephesians chapter 4, if you don't have your hard copy Bible, pull it up on your phone or whatever. Just don't play the game Angry Birds in here. All right, verse 26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Verse 31, look at this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, and along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So today, let's talk about this today. As a follower of Jesus, how do you deal with people who make you mad? As a follower of Jesus, you're held to a higher standard and expectation because of whom lives within you. If you're here this morning, you're like, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't classify myself as a Christian. I'm maybe searching, but you too know very well this topic that we're dealing with and the tension that it brings into your life. So how do you deal with people who know how to know your trigger points? And they expose them. How do you deal with people who play games with you and you just start feeling the muck rising up within you and you're just like, oh man, we're going to have a Friday night get down right now. The Apostle Paul says this, get rid of rage and anger and don't get bitter. So it's this normal emotion, anger. But how do you express it in a way that can be healthy? And I want to submit to you, life-giving. So God's word gives us five steps in dealing with our temper, and this is a topical message. This is, I prefer to preach expository where we just camp out in one passage of scripture. This morning you're getting scriptures pulled in from all over the Bible as a whole, and so we're doing that this morning. The first thought, though, this morning in dealing with our temper, dealing with the angry birds in our life is this, is number one, resolve to manage it. Look, to say that I can't control my anger is false. You can. You have to stop making, we have to stop making excuses like, well, my dad was angry, and it's just kind of passed down to me. My dad had a temper, so I have one too. I'm Irish, so I turn beet red. I'm German. And we're hot-tempered. Have you ever seen that commercial? I thought about playing it, but it's about the German language, and the German language just sounds so mean. You know, have you ever, it's hilarious. I thought about doing it, but didn't do it. So anyway, I don't know why I said that, shared that, but anger is a choice, just like love. Whenever we get angry, guess what? It's because you're choosing to get angry. You're choosing. I'm choosing. You choose to get angry and not manage it. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. The fool vents. If I could put it this way, the fool just vomits. Like the kid getting off of the merry-go-round that lost his corn dog. Just poof, right? The wise people control themselves. You know what control means? Control means that it's a choice. You're choosing to feed that anger, that emotion. We can blame family. We can blame, I'm just passionate. But how you handle anger is a choice, just like any other emotion. Let me demonstrate it this way, all right? Because some of us have been there. We've joked about it in our home. Mom, you're upset with your kid. And you're in the kitchen, and you're talking to your kid, your child, and you're just kind of like, you're raising, they talk back to you, you talk louder to them, you kind of shutting the door a little bit firmer, you're just like, it's like escalating. And all of a sudden the phone rings, mom reaches for the phone, picks up the phone, hello, well, hi, how are you doing? Have you ever heard that happen? Caleb's going. Because we've all done it. I've done it. Have you ever done it? We've all done, oh man, it's so good to hear from your voice. Yeah, man, I'd love that. That'd be great. You know? And there's this thing going on. What happened? You changed and you controlled your anger like that. Anger is a choice. And so is, in order to temper our anger, you have to resolve to manage it. And resolve means that you decide in advance. Granted, not every situation that pops up in our life tomorrow will you have knowledge of and realize, hey, this is about ready to happen. Some of them you do. But the ones that you do, you know when you're heading into a conversation, whether it be with a coworker, whether it be with a family member, where it's a little bit like dicey. And in that moment, going into that, you have to resolve. You have to, okay, I know that this is going to be a difficult conversation. I know most likely they're going to respond. They're going to escalate. And my tendency in the past has been to escalate. But I'm going to resolve by the help of God. Jesus, help me. Whisper a prayer in your prayer language, whatever. But Lord, help me. I'm going to resolve to handle this in a way that honors you. Don't decide in the heat of, in the moment, resolve it, manage it. Secondly is remember the cost. The second step to dealing with angry birds is remembering the cost. The Bible has several verses about the cost of losing your temper and examples of those who did. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 22, and the message says this, angry people stir up a lot of discord. The intemperate stir up trouble. How many can testify to that? Maybe even bringing it to your home, into your marriage, where you've seen such that lived out for a moment, maybe in your home. Maybe it happens that there's a smash up that's going on in your home. One of you grew up in a house where volume meant resolve. And another of you grew up in a home where volume meant instability. And so when things escalate, where there's volume going up, you're going and you're backing away. When conflict comes, you either tend to be a turtle, you go in your shell, or you're a skunk, right? The turtle will hide in the shell and withdraw. The skunk will be like, I'm going to stink this place up. And everyone is going to know that the stink has been released. Crazy, but it seems like, you know what happens? Skunks marry turtles, and turtles marry skunks. Some of you are like, I wonder who's what and what relationship in this room, right? I wonder what Robin, I wonder what Steve is, and don't worry about that. Mind your own business, all right? And it's interesting, as you look at this, scholars or you know, those in the field of relationships, psychologists, sociologists, will say that guys handle anger differently than women will handle anger. I mean, females, they get upset, they get angry with people and relationships, where guys are more apt to get angry with events and things. And I thought about that in my own life, and I was like, yeah, it takes a lot for someone to make me mad. But man, watching the Broncos, that can, you know, or when successful marriages, successful relationships happen, not because there's no anger, but because they know how to resolve the conflict. Proverbs 21:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Because here's the deal. When anger wins, you lose. What do you lose? You lose trust. You lose respect. And in some cases, you even lose love. I mean, what is the price tag of venting and living in anger? I mean, you think about that. When you walk down that path and you release that aggression, what does anger do? It stokes anger, doesn't it? And if you're not careful, especially in family situations, I've seen this happen where anger is there. There's this aggression that, you know, you never know how so-and-so is going to come home and how they're going to respond. And you know what that breeds is apathy. Oh, that's just dad being dad, or oh, that's just mom being mom, or oh, they're just a teenager, and that's how teenagers respond. No. And that apathy will eventually breed an alienation. That you just go, you know what? The relationship falls apart because of these stages. I was thinking about this week and how it has worked in my life a couple times. When I was in high school, one of our offensive coordinator, he was a tough dude. He was like crazy intimidating. He had this really rough voice. His vocal cords got damaged when he played football back in his day. He actually played football with Dick Butkus, right? And got clotheslined by him or something, and so it messed up his vocal cords. But anyway, Coach Machowski he was just like crazy intimidating. And one time he was my history teacher, and in history class, there was a kid in the back row who started to doze off, fell asleep, and you didn't make Coach M mad, because Coach Machowski would just like, he picked up this eraser from the marker board. And back in those days, it wasn't eraser markers, right? It was chalk. And he threw that thing at William, and it pegged William right on the top side of his head with a cloud of dust. You know? And you wouldn't do that today, right? But and not that he should have did it there, but it was just like, oh, I'm staying awake. One time in a Friday night game, I did something wrong, ran the wrong play, I don't had a penalty or whatever, and I ran off the field, and coach got in my face, and he grabbed a hold of my face mask and was just like trying to, he was just upset with me, right? He was trying to motivate me. He was trying to like, yeah, you know, and I'm just, man, and guess what happened with me? It didn't motivate me. It totally distracted me, and I went into a shell the rest of the game. So now you know who's the turtle. I am, right? Parents with teens, let me ask you a question. Have you seen your kid become apathetic towards the things that you're speaking into their life or trying to speak into their life? If you have, maybe is it, and I'm just asking, I'm not saying it is, but is it because there's tone there that has caused them to, like, oh, that's just mom being mom, that's just dad being dad, that's how they always act? Just a thought. On the flip side of the coin, students, your parents could become apathetic towards you because of how you communicate to them. Oh, that's just sis being sis. The danger of allowing anger to stir relationships is that alienation will set in and that relationship will eventually break if not corrected. If anger wins, everyone loses. Number three is reflect before reacting. Let me just say it this way. Put your mind in gear before you put your mouth in gear. And I know for some of us, that's like really hard, right? Remember from our James series, right? And the illustration with the hands. Be slow to speak, quick to listen. Slow to speak, quick to listen. James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Twice in that verse, we are admonished to pay attention to the speed limit signs in our conversations. How many of you have a job where you deal with an angry boss? You're like, oh, I wonder what Joe's going to be like today. Or you have customers that are just angry, right? They ring you and they call in and they're just like, you're the Christmas tree that just got plugged in. They just light you up, right? And you're like, what do I do? How do I respond to that? James says, delay your response and watch your words. If you're ticked, it might be wise to delay your response. The longer, because what happens when you have a burning ember and you remove that ember from the source, what happens? It begins to cool. One translation of Proverbs 29 says, 29:11 says this, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Removing the coal from the fire. I think sometimes it doesn't mean that we avoid it. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with that. That's not what I'm saying. Sometimes you just need a chill space. You need a time out to gain perspective on what you're feeling and what's turning within you. And it's just like this, man, hey, we're not done dealing with this conversation. I realize it's not resolved, but I need some space for grace right now. And I need to like step away, or if it's late at night, how many know, man, if you're fighting at 2 a.m, you're probably gonna be fighting at 3 a.m. And it's not that we're going to say, hey, we're not going to deal with this, but it's probably wise because I'm saying some really stupid things, and it's like every time I say something tonight, it only gets worse. Have you ever had one of those comments or fights, right? Some of you are like, last night. And it's like, okay, we just need to take a timeout. Rob and I'll use us for example. Rob, I need a space for grace. I need to just go for a walk, or I need to go to the gym and just kind of get some space and get some perspective. And as I step into that space, wherever it is, I'm asking myself these questions, or I'm trying to ask myself these questions. Is there truth to what is being said? I'm removing my emotions. I'm removing all the outside stuff. Is there truth to what's being said? And if there's truth, then I need to deal with that truth, don't I? Because what does truth bring? Truth brings freedom. Truth brings trust. And so is there truth to what's being said? And then I'm asking myself this question, am I reflecting Christ in how I'm responding? Oh, stink. Am I loving my wife as Christ loved the church? Oh, man, I failed there. How many know it's hard to put your foot in your mouth if it's not open? Right? And we're not talking, again, I'm not talking about putting off an issue or putting an issue or never dealing with an issue for days or weeks. But I'm just saying, look, have a space for grace. Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. May our hearts always be moving towards people in resolution. But sometimes that requires us to step away and do a heart evaluation of ourselves. And you reflect before you react. And what am I reflecting on? I'm asking, why am I angry? Why am I so uptight over this? Because anger is a secondary emotion. It's not the root. So what's going on? What's the warning lights on my dashboard saying to me? If you hit your hand, you're nailing something, right? And you, bam, you catch your thumb. That's a secondary reaction to something that just happened. If you're frustrated and you're driving you're going 135 south at 4:45 p.m. and you know what's coming, you know highway 254 is right there, and you're just like, oh, why are you frustrated? What's the secondary? I mean, what's causing that? If it's fear, what's at the root of that? Because a lot of times fear is typically, you know, connected to insecurities that we may have. We have to find our why of our anger, and we do that by reflecting. That moves us to number four, is to release my anger appropriately. There's a ton of scenarios that we could play out in this, but let's just enter into our kitchen again, all right? Both spouses work. We'll use you could have roommates, and it could be that scenario too, so you don't have to be married to see this work out. But you get home, you've worked all day, man, you're hungry, and so you begin to prepare dinner. You prepare dinner, everyone sits down at the kitchen table, you have good conversation, you eat the food, it's over, and it's like, hey, it's Monday night, our favorite TV show's on Monday night, Leave It to Beaver, let's go watch Leave It to Beaver, you know, and everyone gets up and goes to the TV room, and you're left to clean the table, even though you worked all day, even though you prepared the food, even though you sat down and made sure everyone had something to drink, and now you're doing the dishes. I can see it in some of your eyes right now. You're like, right? You've ever been in a moment like that, and you go to the kitchen and you start putting stuff away. Not only do you have to do the dishes, but the dishwasher needs to be unloaded, right? You've been there, right? And so you're like, and you pull out the rack and you open the door and in the doors, as you move about, each door gets a little bit louder. And someone comes into the kitchen. Well, what's wrong? Everything okay? The doors, why are you slamming the doors? You want to know what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong, right? And we've experienced that, but what happens when people become honest and vulnerable with one another? Most reasonable and most responsible and most... most adults will respond to that when we lower our defenses. Okay, look, can you guys, I've worked all day, I did the dishes, or I prepared the meals. Would one of you, I shouldn't even have to ask, but would one of you do the dishes? Because I'm like, my feet are killing me. Most people will respond and say, okay, that's cool. Or your spouse, oh, man, that's a fair trade. You know, or we should anyway respond that way. There's always a healthy way and a harmful way to release anger. We have the screaming eagle. We have the ostrich, and maybe you're not one of those two. Maybe you're more like the mockingbird. You're the passive aggressive that deals with anger by making sarcastic remarks, that you criticize and you're judgmental and you and to maybe shield your own insecurities or whatever. And so what is the biblical way to deal with our anger? We don't express it like the eagle. That's not wise. We don't suppress it like the ostrich. I want to submit to you that the biblical way to deal with our anger is to confess it. You admit your anger. You confess the cause. Anger, listen, anger isn't a sin. Anger is an emotion. If it was a sin, then God sinned. And if God sinned, your salvation's in trouble, because Jesus wasn't the perfect sacrifice. But so anger is not a sin. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Jesus heals a man with a withered hand, and he's frustrated. He's angry. Scripture says he's angry with the religious leaders and the religious leaders' response. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus cleanses the temple because he's ticked off. He's angry. And so God gets angry when he sees injustices and he sees abuses, but there are things that you should be angry about, but don't sin. So you confess it to yourself. Man, that hurt me. You know, this is why I'm feeling this way. You reveal that. You confess it to God, and you confess it to the person. What you did or what you said or how you said that really, really upset me, and it made me angry. Final thought. Rely on Christ's help. If you're getting baptized, if you'd get up and change, and we'll celebrate what God is doing in your life. Verse number five, rely on Christ's help. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many episodes of Dr. Phil you would watch or how many self-help books that you would read. The only solution to long-term is for God's power to change you from the inside out. And I just want to pause real quick and just say this. That is the power of the gospel. That God is able to take people that are broken and wrecked because of sin. And that has been all of us in this place at one time or another. God is able to rescue us from that condition because of what Jesus did on the cross. Not because you asked him to, but because he saw your only hope for redemption and for being rescued was what he could do for you, not what you could do for yourself. And so Jesus came and was that perfect substitute for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of humanity. And he bore our sin. He bore our anger that bleeds out in unhealthy ways, and we respond in unhealthy ways, and it becomes sinful. He bore that on the cross. But he just didn't stop there. He was buried, and 3 days later, he overcame sin, death, and the grave. And because he rose and because he had victory over sin, death, and the grave, you too can have victory over your sin. You can have victory over that emotion that has become a bent and a reaction and a response and how you deal with stuff. It's not because you are on top of your A game all the time. It's because of the transformational power of Jesus Christ. He's your help. And it's the power of the resurrection, but not only is it the power of the resurrection that makes us new and takes a broken life and fixes us. I want to submit to you that it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that Christ wants to make available and has made available to all of us. That not only are you forgiven, but God fertilizes our life, if you will, through the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can produce a fruit in your life called joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness. And that can take root and that can produce fruit in your life because it's representing him. And it's a part of him. And you're a part of him now. You've been engrafted. And that's the hope. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the hope that you and I have in living this thing out. That's that the Spirit of God empowers us, fills us, changes us, uses us. And when we mess up, we fess up and we get up and we dust off our knees and we walk towards Jesus again. So, do you have angry bird issues going on in your life? If the worship team, if you would come and get ready as well. David, one of the great leaders of the Old Testament, responded this way to sin in his life. In Psalms 51, verses 1 and 2, David wrote this, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin." It wasn't just the sin of his adultery. It was the sin of his anger. It was the sin of his plot to murder and to have Uriah murdered to cover up his other sinful action and the stuff that's brooding. His response to the Lord is, "God, because of your great compassion, man, blot out my sin." And one of the greatest ways that you and I can deal with our sin in our life and the sin of anger, playing this, using this angry birds as an illustration this morning, is to go to people and to confess your sin. To go to the person that you sinned against, maybe because your tongue got a little bit loose because anger was building up, and so you said some things that were wrong and inappropriate or just unbecoming. To go to them and say, "Man, I was wrong in what I said. I should have never said that to you. I'm sorry." For some of you students, to go to your parents and to say, "Man, I didn't say it with my mom, my words, but I sure did communicate it with my eyes. And I'm sorry. And I was wrong. Please forgive me for my anger." And you start squashing that. You start pressing it down and you're releasing its hold on you and the fruit of the Spirit, you're giving it greater. It's there because the Holy Spirit's the pot. He's within you. So that fruit's there and you're giving it place on the tree to pop out, the tree of your life. But we've all seen anger manifest and we've seen the destructive nature of it. And let's not be angry birds. Let's be people who reflect the character and the attributes of our Almighty God. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I thank you for just the application and the principles of your word and the power of your word and the truth of your word, Father God. Lord, in this holy moment, God, I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for here in a moment we're going to celebrate baptisms and those that have made a profession of faith in Christ and new life in Christ. And Lord, we're gonna celebrate that new work that you're doing. But Lord, right now we just want to look internally. We want to look in our own lives and what's going on within us. And Lord, for some, anger is this reoccurring, I don't want to say theme, but reoccurring characteristic of their life. And God, I pray through just some of the principles of Scripture that we looked at today, that your word would take root in their life. Holy Spirit, that you would break the grip of anger or any other unhealthy emotion that manifests in their lives. And Holy Spirit, that you would fill them. You would empower them, not only to be your witnesses, but empower them to walk out their faith with victory, walk out their faith, Lord, with an endurance and a humility. And God, all of us, we're going to have moments where we mess up. And God, I pray that our response would not be, well, they deserved it, or I had every right to say what I said, how I said it. God, but Lord, that we would respond humbly and with sensitivity to you, that we'd be quick to hear what your Spirit is saying, and we would respond appropriately.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.